Today is the first day of the Dormition Fast, and I sang the small paraclises twice in the two different prisons that I visited today, and preached on the gospel, that beautiful gospel from St. Luke, about Mary going out to the hill country and visiting her kinswoman Elizabeth, and the babe, that is St. John the Baptist, leaping in her womb for joy. It's a very beautiful gospel, and I read it every single day during the Dormition Fast, because we serve the great or the small paraclises every single day. And it impresses me that how important holiness is. And in Orthodoxy, we stress holiness really above everything. God is holy. God made us to become holy, not just to save us. When I was Protestant, it was about being saved. It was about a contract with God. Now, it's a benevolent contract. God wants to save us, and so he saves us because of this thing that we do, or we ask Jesus in our heart, and therefore we're saved from being judged for our sin. In Orthodoxy, that's not how we describe salvation. We describe salvation as the perfection of the soul in union with God. And how can you have those things without holiness? And so Orthodoxy has this beautiful emphasis on holiness. That's why our hymns speak so much about the Theotokos who is holy. She became holy by the grace of God, by bearing God in her womb and God enlightening her in her earthly life, and then bringing her to heaven, body and soul, because she was the, in a way you could say, the beginning of the resurrection. She bore the one who would be resurrected. And so he honored her role in our salvation by bringing her to the heavens in body and soul. That's what we celebrate in the Dormition. But we talk about the Mother of God's holiness all the time. In fact, we even call her Panagia, which means all holy, and that freaks people out, thinking, well, how can we say she's all holy? Well, literally, that wouldn't be true. The only holy being in the entire universe is God. But we are to become holy like God and to approach his holiness. And it's very important to meditate on holy things. And when you read this gospel from St. Luke about Mary going in the hill country and the whole narrative about the Annunciation and the birth of Christ, there's so much holiness there. Imagine a 14 or 15-year-old girl who is told that she will bear a child. She knew that she would be a virgin. Somehow she had a vow that she had kept and knew God would honor, and yet she was told she would bear a child. So she's curious and says, well, how shall this be? And yet she didn't say, how am I going to make it? How am I going to escape being stoned? What will they tell Joseph? She just wanted to know, how shall this be? And she was told that it would be through the Holy Spirit. What a brave woman, and what a holy woman, to submit herself to God like that, to make herself possibly an object of derision and even of stones. And from that point on, she had Christ in her womb, of course, for 9 months, and the changes that must have gone through her soul. I mean, her body changes, right? Your body, when you have a baby, it's amazing. You get 25% more blood circulation, more veins and arteries. So imagine what happens to the soul if the God-man Jesus Christ abides in it. So she became a very holy woman. Not perfect by any means. You can tell in the gospel she made some mistakes in judgment. But after the resurrection, she was the mentor and the sort of the conscience of the apostles, and helped them in many ways. She knew them all personally very well. And she inculcated in them this love of holiness. And the church has this. We treat things with reverence. Relics of saints, the cross, the holy mysteries, the vessels that we use, the altar table, because we treat things with reverence because they're holy. Not because of any kind of superstition or anything, but because they're holy and we should recognize holy things. I was just reading something about Archbishop Anthony, a blessed memory of San Francisco. And there are many stories about him that are just beautiful. He was a holy man, humble, a little eccentric. He would not sleep much. And so he'd be excited about something, and he would call his priests about something at 4 or 3 in the morning. And then he'd say, oh, Father, forgive me, I forgot, you know, it's late, you must have been sleeping. But the very fact that he called his priests and personally is an amazing thing anyway. And he, there were some books that were, gospels that were in a box. And somebody was moving the box with their foot because they were just moving it a little bit, you know, to make room or something. And he said, oh, no, no, that won't do. Pick it up. You should never move the gospels with your foot, because a foot, you know, is not considered to be a nice way to do things, right? I mean, you know, kick someone, or, you know, the foot in Arab culture, of course, is considered to be an insult to show your foot to someone. And I'm sure he wasn't thinking in those terms, but he was saying you got to go to the extra effort, pick it up and move it, because of the fact that the gospels are holy. So we have to have an emphasis on holy things. And the entire Door Mission Fast, we're emphasizing holy things. And really, you can have a rule of thumb that'll work pretty well in life. If you can do something and it is holy, then do it. If you can't, then don't. Now, I'm not talking about whether you get yourself dirty or whether it's involved in a conflict or anything else. We have to do things. Life is messy. But I'm talking about if your disposition is one of peace and love and patience, which is all these things are aspects of holiness, then you can go ahead and do it. If you can't do it, then you're sinning. Pretty easy. We should always aim for what is holy. And the Mother of God teaches us that. May God help us to become holy. Amen.